Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation is with Michael Jackson. Michael's the Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Transportation. And joining us in our conversation is Dave Abel. Well, Michael, I'd like to ask you about when you first showed up in your job. I'm curious, could you give us a sense of what the agenda was, what it was like, and what you were doing?
This was a second time to work at the DOT for me, so it was familiarizing myself with a number of issues which were on my plate as Chief of Staff to the Secretary when I'd left 8 years prior. But the big issue that we were grappling with, perhaps the thorniest issue when we walked through the door, was aviation congestion. We had just been through a summer of the previous year where there were labor issues and congestion issues, and we were stretching our capacity to move people and aircraft through the system. And so we were really struggling to try to make sure that we had imposed innovations in the airspace management systems that would allow us to get through the summer, which we actually did well.
And you were involved in the building of the new team at the department.
Precisely. It's a time for every new cabinet member to assess the issues that are on the plate, problems that have been lingering through a transition, which is a natural thing for all transitions to have. To recruit the new team, and that's a tremendously time-consuming but vital part of a new secretary's work. And so I was supporting Secretary Mineta in that effort in the first several months as well.
Michael, shortly after your arrival at the Department of Transportation, the morning of September 11th changed national priorities, and it probably no more so than in the Department of Transportation. Can you tell us a little bit about your experiences on September 11th, and then we'll follow up and talk a little bit about how that changed the priorities and what you had to do as a response?
Yes, it was a day that changed the world for the Transportation Department, but also for the transportation networks in this country and frankly, around the globe. I was coming into the office a little bit late that morning. I had taken my daughter to school for the first time and had dropped her off and was just about to pull into the department. It turned out that was the last day I was able to take her to school since then. But the immediate effects of understanding what was happening were, I think, dealt with very, very efficiently and effectively in the executive branch. The secretary was moved over to the White House to be by the vice president's side to help manage the immediate work of bringing the airspace system down and understanding what we were facing. I was evacuated with some other senior federal officials to one of those famously undisclosed locations for a time. And in the evening, we came back to the department to meet with our team and assess what we had to do.
Now, shortly after September 11th, Congress passed the act that created the Transportation Security Administration, which created an unheralded challenge for the department. Can you tell us a little bit about that challenge and what the first steps that you were in order to create the TSA?
I'm happy to, Dave. It's a great story, I think, for Americans to understand that the government actually worked. It wasn't clean and wasn't tidy. At every point, we didn't have the answers to every question. There's still much work to be done, but there's so much that we can be proud of that the Congress and the executive branch did together to stand up what is the largest agency created since World War II under some very, very severe deadlines and timelines and performance objectives that were established by the legislation. Maybe I could outline it for you this way. There were really multiple tasks that had to get done within basically 1 year of passage of this legislation. First, we had to strengthen the existing system of security, which had been run by the airlines at airports, and take that over and operate it ourselves. In February of 2002, we actually assumed the operating responsibility for the third-party screeners that had previously worked for the airlines. Next, we had to figure out what we needed to do and how to build a fully federalized system. We had two major objectives and some 36 other subsidiary performance requirements in the bill. We met every one of them on time and on schedule as was required. But it was not the law that was driving this. It was the reality that we needed to improve the system. We had a law. We were going to comply with the law. But we also had the broader change, the security threat that we were trying to contend with. So we had to figure out how to do it, how to create a new agency where a year from passage we had made all federal employees the security system that would be new and wholly run by a federal workforce. And by December 31st, we had to have explosive detection systems in place at every airport in the country, some 442 airports. So we had to figure out how to create a new system. We then had to begin the process of actually building the new system and making it work. So we were doing these multiple large tasks all at one time, improving what we had, taking over the new system that the airlines had previously run, making it work better, design and build a new system, and then actually build it and deploy it.
I think the challenge in that is certainly unheralded, particularly in the fact that you had to do that under a great deal of press scrutiny and under the watchful eye of the flying public. What were some of the lessons that you learned in the initial startup of the organization? What are some of the things that were really maybe not obvious as you started but became very clear as you moved forward?
Well, at the very beginning, Secretary Mineta met with the president, and we went over and talked to the president 10 days after passage and laid out a process of how the secretary was going to manage our way through this challenge. And it was really drawn from how you manage a large merger or acquisition in the private sector, how you take large organizations and create them or merge existing ones. So they're tools to track, monitor, measure, assess performance. We had the mother of all Gantt charts that simply laid out what you had to do by when and the subsidiary goals that would drive you to a successful conclusion on the date that you had to get there. So we spent a fair bit of time up front trying to understand that, but really at the very beginning we laid out a method for doing that. And the method we stuck to, and it worked.
In the last segment, we talked a little bit about your personal background and the time that you spent in the private sector. I know that the TSA depended on and worked with the private sector in a way that is different for the government. Can you tell us a little bit about how the private sector participated in the startup of the TSA and of what value that was to you in successfully meeting the milestones in the manner in which you did?
It's a great question, Dave, and it's really part of the fundamental key to our success in building the new organization. So many people in America wanted to help work on this problem, wanted to help make security better, wanted to try to work this threat and make it possible to respond to it in an effective and efficient fashion. So one example of such a person is an individual that I'd known for many years, had worked in the Reagan White House, had been the CEO of a global logistics supply chain management company. He called up after 9/11 and said, I've talked to my family. He lived in California. I'd be happy to come out and just take time off from my job and do anything we can do that I could do to help you. Kip Hawley was his name, and he became the first person that we hired to help us architect how to do this prior to the actual passage of the legislation. And we subsequently built a team of people around him by calling some of the most successful and effective organizations in the country. We borrowed from Intel Corporation the guy who had managed the Y2K problem for him. We borrowed a wonderful woman from Fluor, a group president who had managed a significant overseas construction and expansion work of facilities domestically. We borrowed a customer service person from Marriott to make sure that as we built an organization, we were listening to our customers and measuring success. We borrowed from Federal Express a fellow who had helped build their ground network and was an engineer with tremendous organizational skills. So altogether, we brought a Ballridge judge in from Selectron so that we could, from the very beginning, build an organization from scratch that had quality process management tools embedded in its DNA from the outset. So we built a team of about nine such loaned executives who served from four months to a year, and we bolted them to people from all around the government, the best people we could find, and people swarmed around this problem from multiple agencies to help us work it. So it was, in my view, this combination of private sector skills and public sector experience focused in a ruthless and relentless fashion on meeting the objectives that really helped us meet it. It was a crazy culture marriage at the outset, as you might imagine. But at the end, you couldn't tell the difference between the folks who had come from the Defense Department or the Justice Department or the Treasury Department or the Transportation Department from those who had signed up to come from a consulting firm or a large corporation to do the job. At the end, they were like brothers in war, all working.
What was the feedback from the loaned executives of working in government?
To a single individual, I believe everyone would say it was one of the best and most satisfying professional things that they had ever done. They're having withdrawal pains going back to the normal world in some cases, I think.
That's a good stopping point. We've got to go to a break. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue our conversation with Michael Jackson of the U.S. Department of Transportation. This is the Business of Government Hour.
Learn how the Bureau of Primary Health Care and the Department of Health and Human Services created a national network of local organizations dedicated to improving access to health care by reading the recent endowment report, Extraordinary Results on National Goals, Networks and Partnerships in the Bureau of Primary Health Care's 100% Over Zero campaign by John Scanlon. For a copy of this report and other endowment reports, visit our website at www.businessofgovernment.org.